Welcome to the John Maxwell Executive Leadership Podcast, where our goal is to help you increase your level of influence, increase your reputation as a leader, and increase your ability to fully engage your team to drive remarkable results. I'm Perry Holly, a certified John Maxwell facilitator and coach.
And I'm Chris Cody, Vice President with the John Maxwell Company. Welcome and thank you for joining.
Chris, today's episode is titled Task Versus Relationships, a Five Levels Danger Zone. Now, there's a five levels danger zone? I'm intrigued. Where is the danger zone when it comes to five levels of leadership?
I have to be honest. I love the title, Perry. Never heard anybody use that before, but I absolutely love it and looking forward to digging in to that with you today, and we can talk about that, the danger zone. But before I do that, let me just remind those that are listening, if you want a review of the five levels and kind of an overview of that leadership model and the methodology, you can just refer back to our first episode in this podcast series, and you'll be able to catch up to speed on that model and the methodology of the five levels of leadership. Now, when I think about your title and I think about danger zones, I think there are two that come to mind. The first one is moving from level two, the permission level, to level three, production level. Mm-hmm. I think that's the first one that we got to talk about and be aware of. And then the second one is really maintaining that level three, that production movement with the people on your team. So let's back up. Today, I just really want to focus on the first one because I think we could talk about this for a long time. Right. We see it in corporate America a ton. And so let's talk about that first one, which is the possible danger zone of moving from level two to level three.
Right. So I take it that you're referring the challenge we have that being a task-oriented person or having a task-oriented, production-oriented personality versus having more of a relationship-oriented communication style or personality. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. So we all have a natural bent. I think we're all, when we talk about individuals and leading individuals and self-awareness, there's three buckets that we always talk about. Number one is kind of their natural bent behaviors, how they're wired. Right. Second is learned behaviors. And then third is what they value and their values. And so we're going to back up here and we're going to really talk about the fact that how we are naturally wired. Right. And I think that everybody is either naturally wired towards a level two leader, natural skill set of leading people, connecting with people, relating with people, or you have a natural bent towards level three, which is the ability to just focus on tasks and strategies and spreadsheets and all those things you can hear with a little sarcasm in my voice because that's not me, but I do appreciate those that do that. We use an example. Sometimes we'll be like, okay, and I want you to think about this as you're listening right now. In the morning, when you get into the office, and this is how I define two different people, you either grab your cup of coffee and you start walking around the office and the cubicles and saying hi and shaking hands, or you put your head down and you walk right by everybody, you go shut your door and you just start pounding out emails and Excel spreadsheets. You decide which of the two you are, and that'll show you what your natural bent is between the two of them.
But it's funny, when we're doing this in the workshop, the Five Levels Leadership Workshop, I say, which one are you? I can do a little description like you did. You come in with a cup of coffee, or you already had your coffee, and you go straight to your spreadsheet, yeah. Or you come in, make your coffee, and walk around and see people. And they'll laugh a little bit. I said, which one are you? And not all the hands go up. And I said, well, you have to be both. I mean, you have to be successful, you have to, but you have a bent, you have a leaning where you are. And I the way we do it in the workshop is I have everybody stand up and I put the task people on one side of the room and the relationship people on the other side of the room. And then I walk over to the task people and I say, what do you just hate about these relationship people?
Ones.
And then they kind of laugh, they're tentative. And then they say, well, they don't work. They're always walking around. Everything's funny. They have a story for everything.
I want to know when the next party is.
So I say, okay, wait a minute. And I walk over to the relationship people. I say, what do you hate about these task people? All they do is work, work, work. No sense of humor. No fun. It's always the next thing. We have a smile and then come back to the middle and say, why do we need to know this?
Yeah.
So why do we need to know this?
Yeah, and so it's a great question because I don't want us to lose the point about what we're trying to accomplish here today. It is true, we do all have a natural bent, but it's not your task or the relationships that matters. It's kind of how you handle the orientation that really matters. And both can be a danger zone, and we talk a little bit about that. But the real lesson here is to be aware, to have self-awareness, not only of yourself, but of those that you lead, because we do have a natural bent one way or another, and so we need to be aware of it and then developed learned behaviors. Remember I told you that second bucket,
right.
We have how we're wired, natural, and then we have learned. And so we need to develop learned behaviors to be able to offset that and be aware of that, not only in ourselves, but those that are on our team, because everybody has a natural bent for that. The danger zone for a task person is the tendency to skip level two. We talk about this a lot because everybody gets a title, level one, they're excited, and they just want to go and start producing right away for the organization.
We need relationships. We need results.
That's right. That's right. That's why I'm paid, right? That's why I need a paycheck at the end of the week. And so that's a problem. And we'll talk a little bit more about the problems that come from that a little bit later in this podcast. And then the danger zone on the other side of that, though, for relationships, as we're talking about this, is the person that, this is where I have a tendency to do this too, right? This is where we just want to hang out. This is where you're going to walk around too much with a cup of coffee. You want to plan the parties and some of those things that you talked about earlier. But here's the deal, right? The problem with just hanging out is we have to produce as leaders and as people. If we want to have that company that we all enjoy working at, we better figure out how to produce. Otherwise, we can't just sit around and continue to sing Kumbaya.
Tell me about it.
So we all have a natural bent. We just got to be intentional about understanding that and develop learned behaviors against the ones that we're not naturally at as a leader.
Well, I'm a card-carrying relationship guy. I confess it. I'm strong to that side. And I always joke with people in the room that, you know, one day you'll come into work and say, "What happened to Perry? He was such a great guy." I said, "Yeah, he got fired even though he had great relationships. He wasn't producing any results." So I have that tendency to stay at level two, build really strong relationships, and not bridge over to level three. So the danger of hanging out at level two isn't having strong relationships, but a real benefit to being a strong level five leader? I mean, aren't I more likely to be a strong leader if I have these great relationships?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's essential, right? You have to have both. And I think it's essential to leading great teams. But we're not hired necessarily to build great teams, although that's what you should do and what will come as a result of beginning to be aware of the five levels of leadership. But we're really hired to produce great results for the organization. And we have to keep that in mind when you have that natural bent that we do. You got to stay focused on it. And a relationship-leaning person who doesn't become intentional about moving to level three, to your point, someday somebody might walk in and say, "What happened to Perry?"
Right.
And so you really have to be intentional about producing results.
So if results are really the end game, is there a danger zone? You mentioned earlier there's a bit of a danger zone for being that task or production-leaning person. What is that about?
Yeah, if you're a task-leaning person, this is what I said earlier, we're going to talk a little bit about the dangers here. You have that title, and you immediately want to come in and produce. And I ask people all the time, I'm like, does that work? You know, can you go immediately from a level one influence leadership with individuals? And let me stop real quick. Remember, we don't assign what level of leaders we are with the individuals. They determine where we're at. And so we come in, we're leading by title, we immediately start producing. And that works. It works in the short term. And that's the problem, is that you often look at organizations, and I know we get a lot of calls and a lot of conversations about employee engagement and turnover problems, and how can you help us solve all this?
Losing
oftentimes,
my top talent.
That's it. And now, more than ever, they have choices.
Right.
And so what's happening is those guys and gals that are leading from a level one straight to level three from a task standpoint, and they're skipping that level two, the relationship side of things, they're losing their team. And it's becoming a turnover problem. So you got to be careful that as a task-leaning person, you don't just skip over level two, the relationship side of thing, or you're going to have a turnover, and you won't have long-term sustainable success in producing.
So that reminds me of some things that John teaches about you're not going to be successful unless a lot of people want you to be. I used to think, you know, I'm here. I'm going to make this thing successful. I can't do it by myself, so I need the team, meaning that I need to engage the team at a level, at strong level two, to get them to that buy-in. I think you mentioned that they buy into me before they buy into the vision I have. So when you think about this task versus relationship, are there any tips you can provide about helping relationship and task-oriented leaders that would help us go forward with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think some of the things that you can do, again, you're going to have to be intentional about it, and you could start very simply by doing a couple of things. You know, every time you have a meeting or you're on a phone call, try to spend the first couple of minutes just connecting. It may be even outside of the profession. Maybe it's even just a personal connection. Maybe the next time you start a team meeting, you say, "Hey, before we start, Let's go around the room real quick, and I want to hear in less than 30 seconds from each of you, what was your favorite part about last weekend, or what's exciting going on in your life right now, or what's something that you're looking forward to in the balance of this year, and you begin to kind of almost develop a learned behavior. That's what we're talking about is as you are task-centered, how do we develop learned behaviors to become more of that relational connection person? The other thing we talk about is get your MBWA. Management by walking around. Yeah, right? Good. As much as it may pain you as a level 3 natural bent leader to grab a cup of coffee, a soda, and walk around and connect with people, man, just spend 5-10 minutes trying to do that. Maybe once a week, then it would go to a couple times a week just to connect with people. One of our master facilitators and executive coaches taught me this lesson. He has a natural level 3 bent to him. And so anytime he goes into a meeting, especially when it's high stakes, right. Because what happens is when we're backed into a corner or up against a deadline or a pressure or a situation happens at work, you're going to fall back into your natural mm-hmm. tendency, which is it is go mode for us that are task oriented, right? And so what he does is he has a learned behavior to where when he walks in at the top of his paper, he always writes several different letters, right? So he writes AQ and then he writes SL. And what they stand for is ask questions first, speak last, right? All these things that happen. And so that allows him to have a learned behavior in order to connect with the room, get their buy-in, get their feedback before he comes in and says, this is what we're doing. And anybody have any questions? Right? Because once as a leader, because he knows where he wants to go, and you want a guy like that on your team, you just got to figure out how, as a task-oriented leader, natural bent to your questions, what are some things you can put in place in order to help slow down a little bit and connect with the people at level 2 from relationship side.
I used to write that on the sales calls, WAIT, why am I talking? Trying to remind myself, let the other person talk. So about the relationship person, if I'm leaning in that direction, which I am, anything intentional you'd call me to there?
Well, from a relationship standpoint, what you've got to remember is that sometimes we don't want to hold people accountable. We don't want to push people. We don't want to challenge people. But if we just understand, and I have a natural bent towards this, right? So you can hear me favoring it a little bit. We have change in our pocket. We have connected. We have built the relationship with them. And they're waiting for us to challenge them. It's like, you know, we talk, I have 2 teenagers, dear Lord, that are now 18 and 16. And you often see these kids, and I've been very involved in middle school and high school sports and athletes and all that stuff. Man, they just hunger direction. They hunger accountability. Right. And some of us that are naturally bent like I am just to build relationships and connect and how things going, we sometimes are a little bit slow to the game to challenging people to be great and to holding them accountable to be great. And they desire it. And here's the thing. We have change in our pocket. Back to my point, right? So understand that even if it's awkward or it feels uncomfortable to hold people accountable or have a tough conversation or challenge them to do something, you have change in your pocket to make those statements or ask those questions or to challenge that individual that you're leading.
Yeah, I always think for me when I made that observation that I'm spending way too much time on relationships, which I don't think you can spend too much time on relationships, but I'm not really focused on driving results. I had to set a standard. And for me, it was, I'm the standard setter for the team, and I have to hold people accountable for that standard and encourage them to get to that standard and then keep raising their level. And that, for me, that helped. John mentions balancing care with candor. I'm major on care.
That's right.
I'm a little light on candor. Could I just have more direct talk, holding people to a higher standard and then holding them accountable for getting there and then going to the next level? That's kind of my job, was take us to the next level. I want to have that great relationship, but we got to go to the next level. So I really appreciate your direction there. So as we close, how about a call to action about increasing our ability to not hang out at level 2, but not skip level 2? What would you encourage our listeners with?
Yeah, a couple of things here. Remember, it's a process, right? John talks about law of process and where it happens daily, not in a day. And small things lead to big things. So we talked a little bit about, man, take the first 3 minutes of a meeting.
Right.
Get your, management by walking around and do it one day a week. Man, for some, it may even be hard to do it one time a month, but let's start there.
Right.
Because small things are going to lead to big things, and over time, you'll begin to develop both sides of it. And so, and it goes same thing for relationships, right? Begin with a small conversation of accountability or challenge, and it'll lead to bigger, and they hunger it. They want it. The other thing is, and this is, I can't remember where I heard this. I heard this the other day. I was listening to something or reading something where it said, there are no bad teams, just bad leaders.
Right.
I was like, ow, right? Like, so no matter what natural bent you are, your team is going to follow that, and that falls on you, and the responsibility is yours as a leader. In the beginning, we, you know, at times when we take leadership, we inherit a team, but over time, you get the team you deserve.
Right.
And so you've got to be aware, and you've got to know where you're at, know where your team is, because it is on you as a leader. And so just make sure that you really are honest with yourself. Call it like it is. If, like we talked about today, you know, Perry and I are naturally, we lean towards the level two side. And it's a fact, right? And even in some of my, we do a Maxwell Leadership Assessment where it's a 360, and the results come back as the leader. And there's no doubt about it. I have a natural bent towards level two. Level three, I rate a little bit lower. And so I need to be aware of that. And so if I can't admit that myself and have that type of awareness, then what we got to do is we got to ask those around you that you trust, to be honest with you. And so ask those questions, have conversations. Remember, it's a process, and small things lead to big things.
Right. And I appreciate that we partner with the Right Path organization, these Right Path four and six surveys we do that really uncover your real you. And it's that awareness that you mentioned that makes it so much easier to grow. If I know where I am, I know what the gap is to get to where I need to be.
By the way, John says it's the hardest thing to do, right? The hardest thing to do is to lead yourself. Right. In order to lead yourself, you have to know yourself.
Exactly. Well, that's fantastic, Chris. Thanks for all that. And until next time, keep developing your influence so you can be a true five-level leader.